Did anyone happen to see that documentary on TBN yesterday? I'll share it with you in just a moment. But I want you to pray with me right now because I have a whole lot to say. There's so much I could say about fathers, about men today. Men, you're just amazing guys. And I'm always just amazed at how men just know how to do everything. I mean, they just know how to do everything. And, well, some are not real mechanically inclined, but they just know how to do stuff, okay? So I honor you guys today because you are the glory of God. I wish he had said the women were, but he said you are. You're the glory of God and we are the glory of men. So wonderful, Jesus, be with me today. Make me a mouthpiece and speak through me as a conduit. And I pray that your people will hear more than I have to say. Holy Spirit, you help them read between the lines and speak more than I could ever say and heal more and do more than I could ever do. We invite your presence and we thank you for already meeting with us here. In Jesus' name, let your church say amen. Again, it's so good to have you guys, and Sal, good to have you home from Mexico, and some of the rest of you that's been gone. Sylvia, good to have you in Porterville today. All right. Well, yesterday, I like to watch, maybe it was Friday, I like to watch Drive Through History with Dave Sopp. Anyone ever see that? Drive Through History. He's just a neat guy, and so he took a little drive in an old truck through the country, the Appalachian Mountains in Virginia, West Virginia. And as he was driving through, he told us about the first Mother's Day, but then he went into first Father's Day, and that's why I stopped to watch it when I heard what he was talking about. And he went on to say that in the 18 and the 1900s, that they had found the hills in West Virginia were just full of coal. Therefore, it brought about the coal mine business. And so people began to come from all over. I mean, even the world. They came from all over to work in these coal mines and find jobs and make money. And he said that little communities and old mining towns began to just pop up everywhere. People came, again, from all over to work in those coal mines. So it was now getting to be a pretty established place, and little cities were all over, and this was so sad that on December 6th, 1907, there was an explosion, and that is called the worst coal mine disaster even in the world today, even as of today, 2022. And it happened in the Fairmont Coal Company in Monoga, West Virginia. 367 men were killed in those two mines, mine number 6 and mine number 7. And they said that those men left behind not only their wives, but over 1,000 children, and of course a devastated community. They were just tore up. And so the first Sunday after they passed, they had gone to the old Methodist church. It was a landmark there in Monoga. And they had just had Mother's Day in May. And the lady that founded Mother's Day, or finally got Mother's Day established, she stood up in the congregation that day and said, "I think that we need to honor these fathers and these men who gave their lives, working hard for their families, for America, and for the world." She said, "Let's stand." And then the pastor said, "Yes." And he had everybody stand. He said, "Let's honor these men who died." And they continued to commemorate these men and remember them every single year after that happened. Well, this is sad. That happened in December of 1907. And these people in West Virginia, they remembered them every single year, but they couldn't get it to be a on the calendar as it is now. Listen to this. Richard Nixon finally signed it into law in 1972 that we would celebrate Father's Day every year in June. Now, I had never heard that story. Maybe you had. But I thought that is so sad that 1,000 children were left and many wives and the community devastated because the coal mines caved in. But you know what is sadder than that? They went on to say that in America today, over 18 million children are fatherless in their homes. Not because of a disaster like that, not so much because of death, but because of fathers walked out on the families. Some in prison, some in the streets, some just, you know, things happen. Not saying that divorce is, you know, divorce is never good, we know that. And some children are fatherless because their fathers passed. We're not talking about that. They clarified 18 million because fathers chose to leave the homes and walk out. I sat to eat a bite last night in between my studies, took a dinner break, sat there and turned on the news. You say, is that all you do, pastors? Watch TV? No. But I did see Fox, and I turned it on to Fox, and there was Tyrus. You ever seen Tyrus, that huge wrestler? I mean, the guy is a giant. He's this big. And he wears this belt over him. So I looked up his name to see, why does he wear that belt? It's the wrestling champion belt, whatever you call it. Anyway, he was a professional wrestler. And now he's a Fox News contributor. And then there was an NFL player there. His name was Anthony Munoz. And there, those men were grown men, professional men, and very wealthy, both of them, multimillionaires. And you know what they were saying? They were very open. And Tyrus, that huge man, I don't know how tall he is, maybe 6'7", 6'8", weighs 400 pounds, huge. And he was opening up about his childhood and how his dad tried to kill him, tried to push him out a window, never would even respond to him, talk to him, didn't give him the time of day. And then mama got rid of him and got these other guys, and they came in and began to abuse him. And a commentator said, well, how did you get out of that? How did you turn the tide? How come you're such a good father? He has two children. And he said, well, I learned. He said, my father figures were my coaches, some of my teachers. They were so good to me. He said, I had one coach that treated us just like he did his children. He was so kind, and when we talked to him, he looked at us, and he looked eyeball to eyeball, and he answered us when we spoke. He talked to me like I was a human. And he said, and you know what else he would do, which he would probably get fired today, but he said that very kind man kissed every one of us boys on the cheek before we left for the day. And he said, at first, when I first got that kiss on the cheek, I thought, ooh, I can't do it. I just can't do it. And he said, and before long, I was waiting in line to get my kiss on the cheek. Big old Tyrus, tears coming down his face. I wish you would have seen it. And he said, so I want to be the best dad to my kids. So I learned to be a dad from my coach. He said, I got a little girl and I got a little boy. And I love them both the same. And I grab that boy and hug him. But my little girl, I endorse her, because if I don't, there's going to be some bad boy come along. And he'll affirm her. I'm going to affirm my little son, because someone will come along and affirm him if I don't. So they went to Munoz. How many knows who that NFL man is? Oh, put your hand down, Art. I knew you would. He kind of looks like you, by the way, without the beard. Anyway, this guy, he just shone with the glory of God on his face. I'm just telling you. And he talked about fatherhood just about like pirates. And talked about what a horrible life he had with his father and different people in the family and how bad it was. But as they spoke, I grabbed my Bible and I said, Lord, today, tomorrow is Father's Day. And it's such a big deal that I honor these men. I can't even imagine why in the world and why young men want to take away manhood. And yet Jesus took manhood on himself. And the big word is toxic masculinity. But don't think for 1 minute that God doesn't know that word. And he knows what they're doing. But see, this didn't just start. It started years ago with Hollywood. Man, sometimes you'll see those little sitcoms. Even a few years ago, there was one and they were watching it. And I'm saying, what is that dad? The kids and the mom? They made dad look like a complete idiot. I said, what is he? Is he normal? What is the deal? Why are they treating dad like? Is that dad, uncle, friend? Is he running loose? And that's what they wanted to do. And the young men today wanting to take on the traits of a woman instead of a man, the blessing of the man, the blessing of manhood, the masculinity that raised us. I'll never forget my daddy. I thought he was the strongest man in the world. And we had nothing. We always had a nice little home and car and a truck. No extra money, but all good food on the table. Mama was a good old Southern cook. But he had music in his heart. And he could sing the house down. His voice was strong. And he was so loving to us all. And Linda married into our family at 16. And he and my mom just took her in as their own. And how she loved that man. We all loved him. He was a beautiful man. He just was beautiful. Now he had an edge about him. But he was just good. And I think of that masculinity. And I can't imagine anyone trying to rip that off of him. Because he was strong, but he was kind, and he was meek, and he was sweet, like most of you men in this house right now. I know you guys, and you're good men. That's what I've always loved about Landmark Men. You men are men, and you women are women. Everybody, if you've had a child, you got to be a dad or a mom. But it's different than being a father. Every woman is a woman, but not every woman's a lady. Ladies are different. Gentlemen are different. And the song we just sang, When I Got Saved, woo, that made the difference. That made it even better. Dylan, I love you, son. That boy grew up here. I ran onto him yesterday. I hadn't seen him in years. Now he's a man. A rodeo cowboy fighting bulls. You stay strong, Dylan. You don't let him take your masculinity. Guys, you stand up and be who you are. My husband spoke one time. We were on a TV, an affiliate up in Placerville. And so we were singing, and the guy who was interviewing there on that show, he heard my husband was a cattle rancher. And so he said, I want to talk to him. Well, my husband, he did not want to go up there. He was strong and he was meek. He said, Paulette, I am not going up there. So I go and tell the guy he's not coming. He goes, I'll go get him. I said, okay, go get him. I said, he'll come for you. So the guy goes out, tells him, hey, I'd like to talk to you. Sure. Gets up, goes up there, sits down on the set in his boots and jeans, cowboy hat. And the guy says to him, I don't know, they went through the conversation of fatherhood, and I'll never forget it. And he says to him, so what would you say to all the men watching today? A big word. I mean, you could say anything. My husband says, well, I say two things. And I'm thinking, whoa, that's good. He said, number one, a can of skull in your pocket don't make you a man. And he said, there's a scripture in the Bible, and I did find it in his old Thompson chain. We both used Thompson chains in those days. The last word that he taught on Wednesday night, and he could say more in 5 minutes than I could say in an hour. And he took a four word sentence out of Paul's writings, I think in Corinthians. And he told the man, he said, I just brought this Wednesday night. He said it was called, Quit Ye Like Men. And men, he says, when you quit this life, quit like a man. I wish I'd have titled this message that today. Isn't that good? Quit like men. I just named it Happy Father's Day, Brother Rick. So let's go over to Proverbs 17. Let me give you a challenge. This is so beautiful. It's so amazing. But then again, it's so much for us to live up to. But many of you are already living up to it. I wish I had time just to pull every one of you men up like that man did, Rick, and just let you tell us, let your kids tell us how good and wonderful you are. Proverbs 17:6, just pull it up for us. Look, children's children, in other words, your grandchildren, children's children are the crown of old men. Now, I'd like to say old women, but I'm talking about old men. So you that are old men, you got your crown with those grandchildren. And look at this. And the glory of the children is their father. Sorry, mamas. It said the glory of the children is their father. Is that not just most precious? The glory of the children is daddy. My dad, my father, he's my glory. I mean, the kids are proud to call you dad, and they're proud to talk about you to their friends. That means you are their glory. Hallelujah. Their future has so much to do with the relationship between them and their dad. If dad's out of the house, like my husband was when Sarah was 7 years old, then that means, by death, then that means that his glory, he was the glory of God, and then I was the glory of my husband. But when the husband is gone and the widow is there, that means the glory of God comes on her, and the glory then to the children. So it works. God has it all worked out. He just knows how to make it work. So our kids' future has much to do with the relationship with the parents. And if you're sitting here today and now I've made you feel guilty because you're like, oh, shoot, I wasn't there when my kids grew up and I wasn't a good mom, I wasn't a good dad. Forget about it. You got saved. Okay, the past is behind you. That's all over. It's done. It's gone. It's under the blood of Jesus. It's over. So don't go back and let the devil torment you with that. I'm talking about today. Families are tore up all over the world, and The world looks like she's on a downward spiral. And she is, but I got news for you today. I love it. I love it that you and I call the God of the universe and our Creator, we call Him Father. Still people in Israel. And I'm just saying, okay, you guys. And yet you still hear many people today calling our Father. I mean, that's a big privilege to call Jesus Lord and Father, Father. And yet some today are still calling Him Yahweh and Yahshua. In the name of Yahshua, say in the name of Jesus. That's okay, though, if you want to do that. It's okay. I'm just saying. We get the privilege, Brother Rick, of calling Him Jesus and calling our Father, Father. Amen? Okay, I'll move on. I believe, church, and this is whatever it's worth, and many of you, I'm sure, will agree with this, but I believe that we have entered into an Ezekiel moment in time. And that is, the Ezekiel moment has to be the valley of dry bones. I mean, it was hopeless. Hopeless. Who could resurrect bones that were scattered all over the world? That was referencing Israel. They were all over the world. God even asked Ezekiel, what do you think, son? Can I resurrect that? Oh, God, only you know. And you and I look at this mess today. And God's asking us, hey, what are you all worked up about? Can I fix this? And some are like, man, I know, but I don't know. No, you don't know. You better know. You better know He can. And then you've got these young kids today. I mean, just kids. Whew. They are writing songs today that are so mighty and so powerful and so over the top and so full of glory. Like the song God had on the library of heaven, and He pulled it down and He gave it to some young man over at the Elevation Church with Stephen Furtick. And he said, baby, write this down. And that boy said, this is the sound of the dry bones rattling. I hear the dry bones rattling. I don't know if that boy was 18 or 21. All I know is he could hear those bones rattling. And when God pulled these songs down, they are for the hour. And it was prophesying again that God said, get up. And we will see the sinew. Let's go over to Jeremiah. Let me get on with it. Good. Look at Jeremiah chapter 8. Jeremiah chapter 8. Look at verse 19. Jeremiah 8. Oh my goodness. I could read this whole chapter, but let's just start, Kathy, at... Let's start at 19. Jeremiah 8, 19. I would comfort myself in sorrow. I would comfort myself in sorrow. My voice is faint within me, Jeremiah the prophet says. Listen. The voice, the cry of the daughter of my people from a far country is not the Lord in Zion. Is not her king in her? He's in her. Why is she behaving in such a manner? Why have they provoked me to anger? With their carved images, with foreign idols? Now look, the harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people, I am hurt. I am mourning. Astonishment has taken hold of me. And look at this question in verse 22. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is there no recovery for the health of the daughter of my people? He said, this is not good. It's not good. They're in a mess. I mean, they're worshiping idols. They're carving them out of wood. And you are, and I are watching today our sweet, godly America beginning to worship the strangest things. She is doing some of the oddest things you and I have never seen in our lifetime. Isaiah says the harvest is past. The summer's ended. Now, if we just want to make that literal, our summer's just starting. And I'm feeling some dry bones rattling within me that something is upon us. I don't know what, but I'm just telling you, be on ready. I'm getting ready to give you a word the Lord gave me Friday morning. So he says, my people are hurt and I'm hurt. So if America, if so many people in America are hurt, you better believe our God is hurt. Now, the Bible told us not to grieve the Holy Spirit, and the word grieve means to feel bad. So he said, don't make the Holy Spirit feel bad, but he's feeling pretty bad right now. And he said, I'm mourning, and I believe that the Holy Spirit is just fluttering over the, as he did in the book of Genesis, hovering over the face of the waters. He's just hovering over this chaotic mess. And look at this. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? I've got a big yes to give you. Oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes. See, we're not in Old Testament days, Melody. We are in the New Testament days. This is it. The balm of Gilead is here. You know where Gilead was? Over near the Sea of Galilee. It was closer over to Egypt. But I got to tell you this. There was wood there. There were hard trees there. And when they split them open, there was this healing balm that began to come out of it. It was sweet perfume. It was powerful perfume. But they would use it and they would get it. It was like an ointment. It was like a salve. And they would get it and they would apply it to the wounds of those that were sick and suffering. And they would be healed. And he said, why are you all suffering so much? Is there not a balm in Gilead? Are you not using what I've designed for you? Is there not a physician? Well, there certainly were in those days. He said, well, where are they? It's not working. Well, I'll tell you this, folks. Jesus, when he died on that cross, his body was split open. The blood began to flow out. When that Roman guard pierced his side, out of his side ran blood. The Bible says blood and water flowed out of the sack around his heart. And when that came out of him, it wasn't another sect of a human. It, you know, he opened Adam's rib and he took out a woman. No, the church flowed out of Jesus' body. Out came the church. It came right out of his side. The balm of Gilead is here. The great physician, the healer. And he wants me to remind all of us today that the great healer is in the house. And the balm of Gilead is here, even for your mind, your emotions, you that have been suffering from fear and worry and stress and distress. He said, tell them that I have this salve that flowed out of me. It flowed out of that old bloody cross. It flowed out to them, and they have me, the great physician, available. Not Dr. Luke, who wrote the book of Luke. No, no, no. Jesus himself, the great physician, the balm of Gilead. And there is recovery. That's why you and I are sitting here today. And if you need to recover, you can recover right here today. I don't care what the habit is. I don't care what the addiction is. It doesn't matter. There is not one addiction that's too heavy for the balm of Gilead and the great physician to deliver you and cause you to recover in Jesus' name. Ah, oh, bless the Lord. I'll stop right there. But here's the word. Brother, don't leave yet. You got to hear this word. Yeah, don't go yet, Brother Jim. This is going to be short. This is a word from our Father. and from Jesus to you wonderful men. I got this Friday morning very early, and I wrote it down. I dated it 6/18/22. Listen. I will pour out my wrath on those who scream toxic masculinity against my men. Those who endorse the thought and those who magnify this evil agenda will soon begin to fall and crumble. I will laugh at their calamity. For I made man in our image, and I have never reversed that, nor have I ever changed my word. I made man to be my glory, and my glory is being continually poured out upon men. He said, continually. To those who love me, live in me, and I in them. Listen. They shall do that which they have never done. The things that you will do and see will stun even you and those around you. You will also see that which you have never seen before. The world will see you and they will be afraid. They will seek you out to draw from your wisdom and from your strength. For I will come upon you in new strength, great humility, and shining glory. Oh, they've mocked you, but I will make them greatly ashamed, says your Father. Walk in my love, walk in my righteousness, and receive my living water and my new wine. Amen. Stand with me today. Hallelujah. Give God the glory. Would you lift your hands and give him praise for that word? Hallelujah. We bless your name. He said, Pastor, that sounds like what you preach. Yeah, I got it first and then I preached it. And then I read it. Bless the Lord. Father, we're thankful today for your plans. And you do have a future and a plan and a good plan for us. And that the world wants us to see their worldview and think it's really going down quick. Lord, they can never take down what you have built up, what you have established, what you have ordered, what you have commanded, what you have declared. Man has no authority to take down anything by their words. But you said, I will pour out my wrath upon them trying to steal from my men their masculinity. But I will pour out upon my men new wine and new strength and new humility because they are my glory. Yes, they are, Lord. Glory to God. My precious brothers, would you all mind just coming down to the front for a moment and come in close, and then ladies, I want you to gather in behind them. Would you do that? Men, would you come, please? Just come. I'm not going to lay hands on everybody. We're just going to pray. I just want to seal this deal. It's already sealed in the Word. Come on. Come on, guys. Come a little closer so the ladies can gather in behind you. How we love our men. Our men do everything at Landmark. You're the ones that took care of the church and got it to where it is. You helped us walk through the hard times as we steered this old ship of Zion, even through death of COVID. I know. Many of you, I don't know what churches you're from, some of you that are visiting, but you probably lost people too in your churches. We lost about 10 people here at Landmark, but God is restoring us and just putting things back. But Father, here stand your men. You know, if God knows the stars by name, how much more does he know us? He said, I knew you before you were in your mother's womb. And he has put people in your life like Tyrus and Munoz. He put people in our lives that have made connections with us. And now he's putting you in people's lives. And he said, in this last hour, the people that he brings you before will be deliberate. So guys, just open up your hands to God. Lift your hands before him and surrender. And say, Lord, I'm yours. I'll take all that you give me. Lord, just come in and help me to fulfill your purpose. Holy Spirit, these are powerful men. These are godly men. They're men who are full of faith. They're full of glory. And they are your glory. They are your glory. They are anointed and appointed for this hour. I don't even know what that means, guys. But this is the hour. You weren't supposed to be born back in the 20th century or the 19th century. No, you were for this century, for this hour, for right now. So, Father, here they stand. Here they stand. They're yours, Lord. Everything they've got, everything they're not, and everything they are belongs to you. Now, Lord, take it from here. And I pray that doors will open before every one of these precious men. Doors that were locked and closed before that they couldn't kick open. Nothing could get those doors open. Men, you watch and see what your pastor says. The doors will open of their own accord. And doors that were open, some of those doors will have to shut. But God said, don't despair. It's me. I will close them and open ones that you need open. I may take some people out of your sphere, but I'll bring others in. Trust me, says the Lord. If I will not do the greatest of things that you have ever seen and heard, for I have prepared you for this hour. In Jesus' name. Lord, we love you. Come on and give him praise, church, all of us together. Thank you, Jesus. Bless the Lord. Let's sing that together.
Jesus Christ will come to the altar.
Yes, Lord. All right, guys, just tell him anything you have need of. Come on.
Was bought with the precious blood of Jesus.
All right, while they're playing, I want to say this. I want you to talk to the Lord right now about something, whatever it is that you want to take to him right now. We're at this altar. So use this minute, use this moment in time to say, Lord, I'm yours. Well, we just prayed, but what is it that you've been asking him about? What are you talking about? Bring it to pass. Now, receive that. Come on. Just talk to him a minute. What do you have need of, sir? What do you need of? Have need of, my brother? If it's important to you, it's important to him. One more time, the altar song. Yes, Lord.
Oh,
come on, ladies.
The altar,
yes, Lord.
The Father's forgiveness.
Yes, Lord, forgive us. Wash us.
The precious blood of Jesus Christ will come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought.
Now, Father, to every one of these men that have children or grandchildren, I pray, Lord, the influence on those children will be greater, whether they're grown or young. These men's influence will be greater in this hour of darkness than it's ever been before. For you have given them the spirit of light and the spirit of knowledge and the spirit of wisdom. I also pray for peace in their homes. the blessing of the Lord upon your home and upon your marriage. Oh, Father, may these men look at their wives with new eyes of passion. And may those ladies look at their men with new eyes of love and passion and restore the years that the locust, the cankerworm, the palmer worm has tried to eat from their marriage. Restore. Let it be said that on this Father's Day, June 19th, 2022, we were in the house and your word went forth and declared the healing balm of Gilead upon it. Yes, Lord, and a great physician to heal us. Amen? Amen. Will the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you, turn his face towards you, and give you peace in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.